2:30, I'm Patrick Lahan. Unemployment in the UK is at its highest level since 1994. The Office for National Statistics says over 2.5 million people are out of work,
with more young people unemployed than ever before. Shadow Work and Pensions Minister Liam Byrne says that the rise in joblessness will affect those in work too.
63,000 people fewer are in work now than last year. Quite simply, that means there's fewer people rowing the boat. That means the boat is harder to row for the rest of us.
An estimated 24,000 people are dying every year because they're not managing their diabetes properly, according to a new report. The study by the NHS Information Centre argues that educating patients in managing their condition is vital. Simon O'Neill from Diabetes UK says we must address the way care is delivered.
We need to make sure that healthcare professionals realise how serious diabetes is and treat it with the seriousness it needs. We need to make sure that people with diabetes understand the seriousness of their condition and have access to the appropriate education and support.
Police have confirmed no one was injured in a fire at a Newquay hotel this morning. The blaze at the disused Pendennis Hotel in Mount Wise is being treated as suspicious. Severe weather warnings have been issued for later this week, with heavy showers and potentially icy roads. But in Falmouth, people have more on their minds than just transport. This weekend, the Christmas festival, which aims to encourage local trading, has had to be cut short. But Nigel Pickin, from Cornish Cottage Holidays, says it won't dampen their Christmas spirit.
The Met Office have issued a severe weather warning for Thursday, Friday. We felt the best thing to do would be to shave off Thursday, Friday, go for Saturday, Sunday. We know the weather is looking pretty much fantastic for the time of year in Falmouth on Saturday and Sunday, and concentrate everything we can on those 2 days.
Senior councillors are discussing the long-running dispute over plans for waste disposal in Cornwall. The St Denis incinerator is still under appeal, but with landfill in Cornwall set to run out within the next 5 years, the council are under pressure to find a plan B. Darren Fletcher has added to Manchester United's midfield woes by announcing he is taking a break from football. The Scotland midfielder has been suffering with a chronic bowel condition that has restricted him to just 3 appearances this season. It comes as a big blow to the Red Devils, who are already struggling with their injuries. And finally, the Queen will pay a visit to the South West next May as part of her Diamond Jubilee celebrations. Her Royal Highness has been head of the Commonwealth for 60 years. And a quick look ahead to this afternoon's weather. Cold and windy for most, with a chance of sleet and possibly snow over higher grounds. Maximum temperatures today of just 5 degrees, so do wrap up warm. That's all the news for now. More in an hour. This is Patrick Lahan for Falmouth News.
Ho, 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 Falmouth News.
Good afternoon and welcome along to this special edition of Falmouth News with me, Caroline English.
And me, Stephanie Partridge.
Well, that time of year is almost upon us.
It certainly is. And with less than 2 weeks to go until Christmas, we've got plenty of festive treats to get you in the holiday mood. So do stay with us for the next 30 minutes.
Now, Santa Claus won't be the only one working Christmas Day. From Afghanistan to the Falklands, members of Britain's armed forces are preparing to spend December 25th on duty and away from their families.
Our defence correspondent, Tina Bessel, has more.
Sending parcels in the post to loved ones can always be a bit of a rush. First, you have to buy the presents, wrap them in good time, find a box to send them in, and get to the post office before it shuts on wintry afternoons and evenings. But for one group of society, this activity is vital for morale. Deployed soldiers, sailors and airmen and women on military operations around the globe, and who won't be home for the festive season, rely on the British Forces Post Office for their contact with home. Captain Ryan Gray, Officer Commanding of the Postal and Courier Troop in Cyprus, tells me how parcels get to forces deployed in Afghanistan.
Going right back to the UK is literally as simple as someone taking it into the post office. Usually this is given the free post system, so up until 2 kilograms is absolutely free to send to Afghanistan. From there, it'll go through the normal Royal Mail system onto BFPO at BFPO London, which is in Northolt, and then that's then forwarded to Afghanistan, and that'll be via the RAF. From there, sorted at Camp Bastion and then sent out to the various FOBs through various means, and that could be from anything from helicopter down to the CLPs out on the ground.
The Combat Logistics Patrols, CLPs, can be a variety of military vehicles, and Captain Gray explained that mail has to be sorted before being dispatched.
It's given quite a low priority in terms of things like water and ammunition, so we will get it there as quickly as possible.
That said, receiving post keeps spirits high.
When I was out in Afghanistan, I found that a great morale booster to myself. What we need to remember is anything that the troops are getting out there, whether it be through the e-bluey system, opening an actual letter or a parcel, at the end of the day can boost morale and actually help the troops on the ground.
And for those back at home, sending parcels is one way to keep in touch. Claire Mansell is an army wife and she explains how difficult it is being apart at Christmas.
I think it is. It's difficult because we're up in the Scottish Highlands. We have quite short days. You tend not to see people as well in the winter in the same way that you do in the summer when people are out and about more. I suppose the good thing is, because we have Christmas, there is that focus of you get together with friends and family that perhaps if it was the summer I might not have.
The free parcels are a huge bonus to friends and family.
This was a bit of a challenge for me because I didn't realise quite how competitive the whole, not just Christmas parcel, but I think parcel thing generally gets with the husbands and the wives. I got in a lot of trouble because I hadn't sent his advent calendar when everyone else had got their advent calendars, so I had to catch up with that.
Naughty you.
But I managed to trump all the other wives because I sent him a Lego advent calendar.
And for those of you tempted to send parcels to unknown soldiers just to show your support, please don't. Captain Gray explains why.
What we do ask is you don't send it to the unknown soldier is because that only slows up the mail system and anything they're expecting from their family or friends may take extra time to get there.
Finally, I asked Claire Mansell what her tip was for the Christmas number one.
Oh, well, obviously it's going to be the military wives. I just think, that, well, there's a couple of things. One, they're not doing it for money. It's actually going to charity and it's going to forces charities. Two, I think it's been a huge morale boost, not just to the 100 or so women who are involved, but even that's quite nice because it's 100 rather than one individual. But also I think it's kind of fed out across the board to all military wives, and I've kind of felt a little bit of a boost because everybody's looking at them in a positive way. You kind of feel like, well, generally military wives are being regarded in a positive way. It's nice.
Happy Christmas. This is Tina Bessel for Falmouth News.
Well, that's someone who's hoping Gareth Malone's group will bag the number one spot this year. But what does it mean to be top of the charts on Christmas Day?
Patrick Lahan has been flicking through the archives and sorting the festive classics from the Christmas turkeys.
Thanks, Noddy. Well, it's that time of year again, and I'm sure you'll know by now, radio stations around the country are flooding the airwaves with trusted Crimbo hits, old and new. And the battle is on for this year's Christmas number one. But does anyone care? Past chart toppers include some of the world's worst and weirdest pop products, like this body chap in 93. And then there was that Labourer in 2000. And it seems we just can't get away from the ever-present Harry Webb. That's enough of that. Many tunes taking the title each year don't actually have anything to do with Christmas. Like Benny Hill's Milkman in 71.
And he drove the fastest milk cart in the West.
The Beatles didn't sing about Christmas either, in 63. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. Even protest songs can make the top spot, like band Rage Against the Machine, who got there fighting the X Factor. However, there have been a couple good ones in the charts which have sung about Christmas, like Live Aid's classic in 84. And obviously there was Boney M's reggae remix, which was another gem for us to cherish. Jesus Christ was born on Christmas Day. Honestly, Christmas crackers like this are few and far between. The very best tunes never make it to numero uno. Wham couldn't do it. Mariah couldn't do it either. Jonah Louie's cavalry was stopped. And even the Pogues' most played and beloved Christmas anthem never made it to number one. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing "Go Away Bay," and the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day. So, before you start moaning about X Factor's Little Mix, remember, it doesn't matter. The best tracks never make it to number one anyway. So why not enjoy listening to some losers who never made it, like this chap.
I'm dreaming of a white
Patrick Lahan reporting some absolute
Christmas.
Classics there. What makes you feel all Christmassy?
Well, I've got to say, Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You has got to be my firm favourite.
Well, there we go. And if you have a festive favourite, do let us know. You can tweet us at Falmouth News or find our fan page on Facebook. Just search for Falmouth News.
Season's greetings from Falmouth News.
Still to come in the programme, we look at how you can pile on the pounds without wasting your pennies by doing Christmas on a budget. And we'll have a flick through our Christmas What's On guide.
But first, they say a week is a long time in politics, and a year, well, that's almost an eternity.
Our chief political correspondent, Jack Marley, takes a look back at the news events that shaped the past year.
On January the 4th, 2011, Mohamed Bouzazi died. The Tunisian street vendor had set himself alight in protest against police corruption, and in doing so, triggered the largest wave of Middle Eastern political protest in a generation. Tunisia's Zine El Abidine Ben Ali was the first leader to fall, fleeing to Saudi Arabia after just 15 days, as protesters demanding political reform flooded onto the streets of the Middle East. By the time the year drew to a close, Egypt's Hosni Mubarak, leader for almost 30 years, was on trial for sanctioning the murder of demonstrators, while Libyan dictator Colonel Gaddafi was dead, pulled from an underground tunnel by a revolutionary mob, shot in the head outside his hometown. Demonstrations are continuing in Syria and now beginning in Russia. Where both will lead remains uncertain. In Britain, too, people took to the streets, though the purposes were less clear. For 5 nights in August, rioters looted, vandalised and destroyed shops and businesses, ostensibly in protest at the shooting of a London man. The economic toll was considerable, the human one more so. 3 men, including 2 brothers, were run down and killed when trying to protect their neighbourhood in Birmingham. Tariq Jahan's son died in the attacks.
I lost my son. Blacks, Asians, whites, we all live in the same community. Why do we have to kill one another? What started these riots and what's escalated? Why are we doing this? I lost my son. Step forward if you want to lose your sons. Otherwise, calm down and go home.
Flash, bang, wallop, what a picture. Tomorrow, the news of the world brings you the cheeky...
168 years. That's how long the news of the world had been in circulation, until 2011. The news that the telephones of celebrities had been hacked were distasteful, but revelations that murdered schoolgirl Millie Dowler had also been targeted caused outrage. News International chair Rebecca Brooks was the most high-profile casualty of the furore that followed, but it was Rupert Murdoch, summoned to appear before Parliament, who was left with egg, or rather pie, on his face. Technocrat, deficit, crisis. 3 words used with increasing frequency and alarm as 2011 drew to a close. As the fiscal woes of the Eurozone deepened, European governments fell. First to go was that of George Papandreou, the Greek Prime Minister, followed by Mr. Bunga Bunga himself, Silvio Berlusconi. Summit followed summit as European governments tried, with limited success, to find a solution to the continent's fiscal woes. The latest saw David Cameron walk away from negotiations on a new treaty. His backbenchers were pleased, his coalition partners were not.
Bitterly disappointed by the outcome of last week's summit, precisely because I think there is now a real danger that over time the United Kingdom will be isolated and marginalised within the European Union. I don't think that's good for jobs in the city or elsewhere. I don't think it's good for growth. I don't think it's good for families up and down the country. And that's why I, as a Liberal Democrat in this coalition government, will now do everything I can to make sure that this setback does not become a permanent divide.
2011, then, was a year when leaders, institutions and the old political certainties fell away. The question for 2012 is what comes next?
Jack Murley there. Now, here to have a look at what's coming up in Cornwall over the festive season, it's Kat Williams.
Cornwall's gone Christmas crazy this weekend with all sorts of activities for you and the kids. Thursday sees Loo light up with its lantern procession and carol service, kicking off at 6:30 from Millpool, Westloo Square and the Globe Inn. All three processions will meet at the fish market at 7 p.m, where you're invited to take part in a spot of carol singing whilst enjoying some lovely homemade soup and rolls. Next up, the Falmouth Christmas Festival will be in Event Square on Saturday and Sunday. In true Falmouth style, the festival will include street theatre, carol singing and of course a Christmas market. Look out for freshly made local produce and the chance to get those last minute presents. If you're looking for something a little more laid back this Saturday, why not get yourself down to the Christmas lunchtime concert in Falmouth Parish Church? The singing is set to begin at midday and all are invited. For children, a visit to Santa at Treba Gardens could be the chance for last-minute Christmas wishes to come true. There's a Christmas trail, and for this weekend only, Mr. and Mrs. Christmas will be giving out goodies from their grotto. But remember, he knows when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Further afield, the Montauld Christmas Festival has begun and will continue until December the 21st, when there will be a Montauld Eve celebration. With two torchlit processions, the first at 6 p.m. from St John's Hall and the second starting at 10:30 p.m. in Chapel Street, you can be entertained by traditional music and fire throwing. The fun's already started though, as the six-day event includes a huge variety of activities, including the chance to make your costume for the big event. Getting closer to Christmas and there's still the chance to visit the Winter Wonderland at the Eden Project. Complete with ice rink, Eden's gone all glittery this winter. And if you walk, cycle or take public transport, the entrance fee is only £18 for adults, with children under 16 going in free. So make sure you get out your train tickets. Moving on to Newquay, and they too have a Christmas festival from now until the 24th. All events are completely free, and if you're looking for something to do with the family on Christmas Eve, why not pop along to the family disco at the Hotel Victoria? That's if you're struggling to get the kids to bed. That's all from me for now, but if for more event listings and to find out what's happening where you are, visit our webpage on www.falmouthnews.com. I'm Kat Williams, and that's been What's On.
So, lots of carol services going on across Cornwall this weekend, which leads us rather nicely on to our next story.
Many Christians feel that the religious aspect of Christmas Day is becoming less and less important to some people.
Our faith correspondent, Tori Orchard, has been speaking with Christians across Cornwall and examining the true meaning behind this special time of year.
It's just around the corner, Xmas, the big day, Christmas. Whatever you call it, the odds are you're beginning to feel the pressure looming. But has its real significance been lost? With phrases such as Xmas being used so loosely, society's beginning to forget that Christmas celebrates the birth of Jesus. The evidence is clear that it's become a very commercialised holiday. The adverts pop up on our TVs around mid-October, luring us onto the high street. Pauline Nixon from the clergy of Perinzabalo, Quantock and Cubitt says she believes the church needs to reach out so people can join in.
I think we've got to be out with the people, just talk to them about what the real meaning of Christmas is, about sort of giving and receiving. And you can be church in somebody's front room. I think that might be the way that things will go forward. People meet in small groups as the bigger churches close and we can't afford to heat them.
David Hampshire, who's the advisor for religious education in Cornwall, believes it's imperative that children appreciate the deeper value of Christmas.
The Innocenti 9 report, which compared the lives of children across the developed world, found that children in England, well, were the unhappiest children in the developed world. And yet you look around at what they have and you're trying to think, well, why is that the case? And I think it is important that we start to reimagine the sort of the spiritual values that lie at the heart of our tradition, our communities, our heritage.
Christmas is a commercial holiday for many, but the deeper meaning is still there. It's just a question of communication. Tori Orchard, Falmouth News.
Now, we all know that this time of year can be pretty expensive, but it doesn't have to be. In fact, Caroline, you've spent the past week looking at how to get into the seasonal spirit without breaking the bank.
Money struggles are forcing us all to tighten our purse strings this Christmas. Cooking a roast with all the trimmings can be a stressful and costly experience, especially for someone like me who throughout the year lives on microwavable meals. My friend Laura is going to show me how to make a simple traditional meal for six for under £10.
Cutting back on the biggest meal of the year doesn't mean you should have to resort to unsatisfactory portion sizes, and it doesn't mean it can't taste as good. A few tweaks to your budget and a change in attitude are enough to ensure you still enjoy Christmas dinner without choking on the price of it.
So Laura, what food tips do you have for us today?
Well, the most important part of the Christmas meal is the meat, which can be extremely expensive. I've opted for using chicken instead of turkey. You can grab a whole large chicken at the supermarket for just £2.50. It's just as tasty as turkey and comes at a fraction of the price. Bargain.
Well, next we'll need our veg. You can't have a Christmas meal without potatoes, carrots and parsnips. Where would I buy these from?
Instead of buying them at the supermarket, you could go to a local market or a fruit and veg shop and get enough winter vegetables to feed six for only £2.
And don't forget to leave a carrot out for Rudolph. Next up we need our Yorkshire puddings. I normally buy these frozen, it's so quick and easy.
Forget buying them frozen, homemade Yorkshire puddings are the way to go. Simply whisk up eggs, milk and flour, which most of you will already have in your kitchen. It might take longer than just bunging them in the oven, but that's what the kids are for. We've got our eggs for free from a friend who has chickens. Living in Cornwall means picking up eggs from a local farmer should be pretty easy.
And what about stuffing?
Well, Caroline, supermarket packet mixes are a great way of saving money and still add a burst of sage and onion to your dinner plate. The cheapest mix we found was only 21 pence from our local supermarket. This is much more economical than buying the ingredients separately without sacrificing on the taste.
Laura, one of my favourite parts of Christmas is relaxing with a nice glass of mulled wine after my meal. But it's so expensive, how can I get around this?
Well, a good tip is to actually make your own. Cheap wine from a supermarket can be bought for only £3 or £4. A cheap alternative to the ready-made stuff can be turned into a steamy winter warmer by just adding slices of orange and spices and then heating on the hob. But before you get too excited, make sure you let it cool before you take a sip because it will be very hot.
Well, that's our top tips for you this Christmas. If you would like to share any of your own cost-cutting advice, tweet your ideas to @FalmouthNews.
Ho, ho, Falmouth News.
It's been an eventful year for our Cornish and national sports teams.
Casting his beady eye over some of the year's biggest national stories is our sports editor, James Hoxie.
The year started with a bang. Our cricketers went to Australia to defend the Ashes and do what no England side had done in 24 years, win on their turf. And in true underdog fashion, that is exactly what they did.
They win the series by 3-1. That is a very, very good cricket team.
Individual performances obviously add to a team victory, and I think the team victory today is incredible. It's the best feeling. No matter who takes the wickets or who gets the runs, a victory in Australia, I haven't had one, Strassi hasn't had one.
It's a beautiful day.
In football, Wayne Rooney put the talk of his future and form behind him to score what Sir Alex Ferguson described as the best goal ever scored at Old Trafford. against one of their closest rivals, Manchester City.
It was one of those times when you really do get those goosebumps.
I seen it come in the box and, you know, I just thought, why not? So.
With a flash, like a strike of lightning, he changed direction, his body's up in the air.
I tried it and thankfully it's gone in the top corner, so delighted. I've just tried it and, you know, 9 times out of 10 they go over the crossbar or wide, but thankfully for me today it went top corner.
It was like a right foot with an explosion, but the timing and the beauty of the dance. Goal of the season.
On the track, Mo Farah led the way. The 5 and 10,000 metre athlete was the front runner in addressing the Kenyan domination of the sport. He finally snatched gold from their grasp at the World Championships.
Farah's going to win it, and Mo Farah takes the gold. He kisses the ground in celebration. How gold would it matter?
I was really confident going to the World Championship. Going into it, I was very excited and was really looking forward to it. I guess the better man won on the day.
With all the glitz and glamour in the sporting arena, it is often easy to forget that our sports stars are people too. People that deal with the same problems we all do. This was brought home in traumatic fashion with the news that Wales football manager and legend in the game, Gary Speed, took his own life at the age of 42.
Before we get underway, there will be a minute's remembrance of the life of the Welsh manager, Gary Speed, a man totally respected throughout football.
I just can't believe it. You know, he's my mate and he's gone. It's like I've gone very close to Gary in the last few years. You know, the guy is a terrific. He's left two gorgeous kids behind. And there's a beautiful wife. You know, he had everything. He had everything. And it won't leave
me alone. As 2011 draws to a close, we can reflect on what a truly remarkable year it's been. One thing is for sure, with the sport continuing at this frantic pace, next year promises to be one heck of a ride. James Hoxsey, Falmouth News.
It's a Christmas tradition.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is. The humble pantomime is a seasonal institution in the UK, but now one Cornish drama group is putting a new twist on things.
Penryn Community Theatre's new production of Beauty and the Beast of Bodmin is expected to be a smash hit. But you won't catch it in a theatre. In fact, it'll be coming to a pub near you. James Bridges went along to a rehearsal to find out more and joins us now.
I do, Steph, yeah. I was lucky enough to be granted a sneak preview of the Penryn Community Theatre production of Beauty and the Beast of Bodmin. And what's special about this is they actually are doing it in a pub rather than a classical theatre. It's an unusual venue. But yeah, they just decided that to bring the community together, they decided to do a panto.
That's great. So what's different about, obviously it's in a pub, but what's going to be different? Obviously it's not in a theatre. How's that going to affect the production?
Well, obviously it's not for children. That's the first thing. It's a bit ruder. It's a bit sort of more knowing. It's a bit more risque. And yeah, people are going to be more drunk, which is probably going to be the main difference. And you might get a few sort of shouting out at the crowd. But one of the main actors is actually the barmaid at the pub. So she's probably used to this sort of thing.
So with it being in a pub, is there an age limit? You said it's not for children, but does that mean that under 18s can't go to the show?
I wouldn't advise it. It is pretty rude. It's traditional panto fare. Children, particularly parents with young children, I wouldn't advise them to go. But it's all in the name of good fun. And, you know, realistically, for a good Christmas night out, for adults, it's the best thing to do.
Brilliant. It sounds really good. What are you doing for Christmas yourself?
For Christmas myself, I will, after I've been to the play, obviously, I will mostly be spending it with my family and just going to probably a few carol concerts, a few parties somewhere. I haven't even done my Christmas shopping yet, Steph, so I've got to get that organised as well.
Okay, thank you very much, James. It's been great to speak to you. You can join James and members of the Penryn Community Theatre at the Seven Stars Pub in Penryn from February onwards.
I think I might do that.
It'd be rude not to. We'll be back with you in the new year, but for now, from everyone here on the Falmouth News team, have a very Merry Christmas.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.